Happy Monday, my friend.
Happy Monday. It's the start of a new world for us.
A new era.
As the long national nightmare draws to a close and Pfizer announces that the vaccine is going to be 90% effective.
I saw that. What do you make of that? What do you make of the timing of that?
That the guy's laughing his ass off in his office going, hey, fuck you.
The Pfizer guy? Yeah. You mean he was sitting on that information?
No, I don't know. I just barely heard about it, right? I mean, I didn't know about it until I woke up, and that hasn't even actually happened yet. So
that's what I figured.
Yeah. But here's the thing. The news is that the vaccine is 90% effective. That's good news. It's not around the corner or anything like that. But I do think it's funny that Trump kept saying over and over, there's going to be major vaccine news is going to come out. It's coming.
It's coming in a few weeks. Don't you think he was privy to that report?
Yeah. Well, here's what I think. It's like the boy who cried wolf, right? I mean, he told so many lies over this past 5-6 years and his whole life for that matter, that nobody really could believe him, right? And that seemed like, oh, that was just too convenient that it's around the corner. And again, not around the corner, right? We're talking about way out into the middle of next year before.
Well, there was a lot of
number of people have it.
You know, of all the news that I expected to come out this week, and there was a lot that happened since last week and over the weekend, I thought the biggest news that you were going to say is we lost Alex Trebek.
Yeah. Is that some kind of ageism?
How old was that dude? I don't know.
80 years old.
80? So yeah. He died of cancer. He's 80. And Biden's going to be 78. I'm not saying he has cancer, but he's not, you know, the picture of health. You got to worry about these guys in their old age. That's what I'm saying.
Oh my God. I can see already it's going to be a long 4 years.
No, it's not going to be a long 4 years. It's going to be a long, however long it takes, couple of months till he keels over and then Kamala's there. You know, she is excited, of course. You would expect that, but she's tweeting up a storm with all of her plans. It reminds me very much of when Obama and Biden were first elected, and Biden, I think, had a difficult time transitioning to being the number two and taking a back seat. I remember early on in Obama's presidency, there was a few times at news conferences and, you know, Biden was at the podium and he was taking that opportunity to, you know, stretch that out, and Obama had to like push him back and say, okay, buddy, sit down. It's my turn. And I see some of that in Kamala. Like, she's ready to go. She obviously knows she's going to get the job when Uncle Joe keels over, and it's like only a matter of time. Oh, so she's already, you know, getting a head start.
Poor Uncle Joe. I think that is going to be my favorite name for him, though. I was running a few nicknames through my mind earlier, you know. So Joe, Big Joe.
Sleepy, you know, Joe.
Sleepy Joe. Yeah, like that's an unfortunate one for him. Uncle Joe is probably the one.
Well, Sleepy Joe because he's going to have eternal sleep when he dies. Is that why they call him that?
Oh, my God. Have we ever had a president named Joe?
Have we ever had a president named Joe? I don't know.
No, I mean, we're done with the Donald. So,
well, he was always the Donald, right? Even before that was, he liked to call himself the Donald because he referred to himself in the third person. But Joe, I mean, he's got to have other nicknames. I haven't heard them all. But a lot of the ones that we're talking about, aren't those ones that Trump called him?
I think my favorite one is By Don.
By Don?
Biden. Biden.
Did you see
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you see some of the, I think a lot of this was from The Onion about the Trump sons. What's the oldest one? Is it Trump Jr.?
Trump Jr., right? And then Eric is the other one.
I can't keep them all straight, but one of them.
I think Eric is the retarded one.
Is he the middle one?
Oh. Oh, that's right. He's got that little shit Baron.
That's hey, right. He's a minor. Don't bring him into this. He's a minor, but he's a giant.
Jesus. You know, you name your kid Baron. Oh, my God. What the hell is that?
There's worse names.
Are there?
Like Kamala.
Just because it's hard to remember how to say it, which way is right.
I think it was Trump Jr. there was a something from The Onion where it said Donald Trump Jr. refuses to give up the post of the president's eldest son, and so he's not leaving the White House, and he hereby is adopting the name Donald Trump Biden so that he can stay in the White House and be the president's son, something like that.
That's a good one. I did see a good meme with from the Saturday Night Live skit where the David Spade and I can't remember who the other guy was were the flight attendants, and they were saying bye-bye.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So they got the film, and all they're doing is they're superimposing the heads of the different Trump crew, right? All of them, every one of them. Bye-bye as they're going out the door.
You know what's funny is for the last several months, obviously, we've been talking all about this, and I have been trying to convince you why Biden is a bad choice for president, and Trump, although not a good human being, is a better of the two. Although, to recap, I did not vote for Trump, either of those two elections.
But, that's right. You voted for another Joe, and yeah, you had me going on the last podcast.
Exactly.
You
said, I voted for the Libertarian Party, Joe Jorgensen, which I think we need a shakeup in this country. And in the first election, I voted for myself instead of Trump or Hillary. Mm. But, you know, we're recently on Twitter, you know, trying to promote our show. And mm-hmm. I came across a tweet that I posted in 2011, way back when, about Donald Trump. And he must have been saying that he was dangling the carrot that he was going to run for president back then. And I said something like,
go Donnie go.
No, that basically, you know, here's a guy, because he always ran on the platform that he's a businessman, he knows how to generate you know, money, he builds these vast empires of wealth, and he would be good for the economy and for business. Mm-hmm. And I came across a tweet that I wrote that said something like, I'm not sure that a guy who makes a living telling people you're fired would be good for business. You know, and that was back in the Apprentice days.
Very prescient.
So, you know, what am I trying to say? Way back then, I knew he wasn't going to be a good president.
Yeah, that's good.
I had my crystal ball.
Well, I mean, it's you know, I'm ready to move on. It's over. We have the balanced government that you should be happy with.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, doesn't that really, we have some runoff races in Georgia?
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to give you a little leeway before I started telling you how that was going to go, but
you think it's going to go the other way?
They're gonna put $1 billion into Georgia.
They actually only need one? Is that right? Because then the tiebreak.
I think they need them both.
They need them right? both. They need them both, and then they still have the tiebreak of
Kamala's the tiebreak,
right? So they need them both. Yeah, I think that's going to be a tough win for them.
Could be. I mean, obviously Georgia is turning purple at the minimum, if not going blue.
Yeah, but you know what, though? That whole thing, which it ultimately turned, right? Didn't Georgia go to Biden mm-hmm. or no? Mm-hmm. And that's only because of Atlanta. So when we were watching election night coverage and early on, Georgia was in the Trump side. And I think then it was, you know, even into like Wednesday or Thursday, it was 90-95% of the vote was cast, but it was Atlanta or that whatever county that's in that was still outstanding. And they speculated, hey, a lot of these votes that we believe there's whatever it is, 500,000 ballots still out there. We think this will, at the very least, you know, 2/3 of those will go to Biden. Therefore, it'll put him over the edge. But make no mistake, that's not the entire state. So when you're talking about Senate races, I'm not so sure that's a clear victory for them.
It's not a sure thing. I mean, I think it's going to depend how hard they get in there and work. Remember that they stole, the Republicans stole the governorship from Stacey Abrams.
What do you mean they stole it? just like the Democrats stole the election from Trump?
Not going to let me get by with that one, huh?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, everybody who loses says the other side stole it from them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were some shenanigans going on with the you know, the running against the guy that was running the election. So, but the long and short of it is Stacey Abrams has stayed and has organized Georgia. The reason why Georgia has gone for Biden is through the organizing efforts of Stacey Abrams and her, she has a voting organization there. You know, Georgia was hot and heavy on voter suppression, which is what a surprise. It's a southern mm-hmm. state. And she has, it's her work and her organization's work there that turned the tide on that. So we'll see. I mean, there's a, It'll be an uphill battle, I think. I mean, both of the Democratic challengers are, you know, the only reason they're in this is that their opponents didn't get 50%. So, you know, Ossoff is.
That's the name, really?
Yeah. Ossoff is the Democrat, yeah, against Perdue. So Perdue is the guy that had won a debate with Ossoff and then chickened out and canceled the second debate.
Why did he cancel it?
Because he got his ass handed to him by Ossoff. I mean, he just literally froze up, sat there. He's an older guy, too, and Ossoff just destroyed him. So we've got that to look forward to. I predict Perdue won't do any debates with Ossoff because he already in the general election, he already bailed out of a debate after having one with him. So, and then the other one is what's the other one? That's the runoff between.
I wasn't following those races. I don't know much about it other than that's going to be a big issue.
Yeah, there is the black gentleman. I think he might be a reverend or some type that had two. You know, that had two. There were two Republicans, right? That split the Republican vote. There, it's a jungle primary. No offense to that guy. It's a jungle primary. Everybody can run, and then somebody's got to get more than 50%. Otherwise, it's runoff city between the two tops.
And this goes down, I think, in January, right?
January 5th, I think.
Yeah. Well, so I mean,
we won't know. We won't know until then.
All of this stuff, when you look at how this is going to shake up, and you know, economically, and how the markets are reacting, everybody's thinking, okay, with a Biden victory and the Republicans holding the Senate, that's kind of the best of both worlds. We get the maniac out of the White House, no more tweet storms, no more bullying or whatever, you know, whatever flavor of the week, you know, anti-Trumpism you want to throw out there.
You know, for me, it's kind of like I'm trying to adopt a policy of let's not shit talk the dead. That's where I'm going to go.
Well, he thinks he's by the way, I mean, listen, all this stuff about golfing and how many times Trump golfed and what the cost of the taxpayer was compared to Obama and all these other presidents, that stuff never bothers me because these guys need a break. Every year the cost of a president's extracurricular activities are always going to exceed the previous president because shit costs more because Democrats make shit cost more. Let's not forget about that. But I was shocked that this past weekend, given the election and all of the news and all of the just developments that Trump would spend, I think it was Saturday, golfing. And, you know, he's got these lawsuits he's filed in several states, and he's not backing down. I'm shocked by that.
Oh, well, today's not over.
Well, you think he will by the end of today?
I think sooner or later, even a dumb shit like him can hear the voices around him saying, hey, you got to get out of this. You got no chance. I mean, he doesn't have a single legal ledge to stand on, right?
Well, even if he won
every lawsuit that he has filed, it won't change the election.
Yeah, it's the states that he has the lawsuits filed in, if I understand it correctly, if those states are ultimately turned around in his favor, it's still not enough electoral votes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, you know, when Georgia still seemed pretty far out there, and Pennsylvania still seemed pretty far out there, and Fox had already given Arizona to Biden. And
are you laughing because you're wheezing?
I don't feel that great, but in Arizona,
he's got a lawsuit there, like, right? Arizona,
yeah. Stop the vote! Stop the vote! Stop the vote! I'm like, stop it! And Biden's ahead, so it was pretty uncoordinated.
How many states does he have the lawsuits in?
I'm gonna say probably Nevada, Arizona, Georgia,
Pennsylvania. That's four
at least.
Wisconsin and Michigan.
Wisconsin and Michigan. I'm not sure if he has lawsuits there, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's rapidly developing. When did the AP officially call it? Was that Friday?
Gee, that was like the same time that Fox News called it. You know, we already talked. Did we talk about this already? We were both watching. I think you had recommended that I check out the numbers guy on Fox.
Map guy on Fox. This was election night when you and I were texting back and forth. Yeah, he was way better.
And he And he comes back from a break or talking about something else, and all of a sudden Arizona has been called by Fox News for Biden.
That was a shock. And,
well, here's the thing. So the backstory on that, from what I've understood, that's Rupert Murdoch sticking the knife in Trump's back on purpose.
What do you mean? Rupert Murdoch cast fake votes in Arizona?
No, Rupert Murdoch and Trump have fallen out of love for a long time. So you've probably been aware of some of the, sorry about that. That's supposed to be off. Hold on.
Some of the what from Rupert Murdoch?
It's okay. So some of the animosity. So Trump and Rupert Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch, you know, owns Fox News.
Yeah.
Right. So for the listeners out there that aren't so in the weeds on this, like we are, where we know the ownership of the newscast.
Exactly.
They've been out of love for a long time. So it's pretty much common wisdom right now that calling Arizona for Trump that early, along with when the AP did and then Fox joining in, was really Rupert Murdoch kind of sticking the knife in Trump's back, going, hey, fuck you. Here's a little something for you.
They did call it before the other networks, because you're right. We were watching it live, and yeah, they were going back and forth on the maps, counting the votes, and then they had this what-if scenario, and it was too early even for Fox to say, hey, we're going to look at some of these what-if scenarios. And when that guy, I forget his name, he came back.
Yeah, I never knew his name.
Yeah, he came back out of whatever local map he was in and then looked at the nationwide map, and then they had just called it. And then they had...
That was the best. That's going to be my best memory from the whole election night.
But even because I was going back and forth between Fox and MSNBC, and MSNBC wasn't even calling Arizona yet, and they were questioning it.
Like, they never did.
Yeah, how could this be? Because, you know, that's not the way we thought this was going to go. But I think that was the McCain FU. I mean, that's
I think Trump. I think Trump lost Arizona, and Arizona went blue because Trump shit talked their favorite son
exactly
from
and
day one,
and continued to do so after he died. And then I think Cindy McCain, right? She went out and supported Biden.
She did. She campaigned for him actively.
So, I mean, early on from about, Tuesday evening, certainly through probably Thursday, it looked like Arizona was going to play an important role. I mean, those 11 votes could have been the deciding factor. I think that's all a moot point at this point, because since then, both Michigan and Wisconsin went to Biden, and of course now Georgia.
Well, Pennsylvania is the
Pennsylvania
one,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Once they called Pennsylvania, that's when he became the projected winner, because that was 273 or something like that. So that was 20 votes. They had him solid at 253, and then Pennsylvania was 20 votes. So that's all he needed. And the rest of it gives a shit. Trump could win every state that was left after that.
That's what I don't understand. I mean, when you look at where you go from here, even if you go back a couple of days when you and I were talking about some of the states that that they hadn't called yet, but he was projected to win, Pennsylvania mm-hmm. being one of them, I think early on, maybe it was like Thursday, you and I were talking about it, and even if with all those assumptions, I think Alaska hadn't come in yet, he'd only got to 268. So there was never really a path forward, even where we sat before those contested states.
There was a path before they called Pennsylvania for Trump. There was a path to a tie. They both could have ended up with 269. If he had gotten Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. then there was a path to tie up, depending on what states went where, which would have been, I don't know, where it would have went to the House, I think.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So that wouldn't have been perfect. I mean, I think the whole thing, I mean, it was fascinating for me. The whole thing was fascinating. It wasn't very stressful. I mean, the time between Tuesday and Friday, when did they call it? Saturday morning?
I think it was Friday.
Friday morning?
It's all a blur at this point. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's...
Maybe it was Saturday.
I think when I got up sick, I can't remember, but it was, you know, it was a few days, and it was weird, but there was no real violence. There was quite a bit. Did you check out? And I got to tell you, I watched more Fox News on Saturday than I've ever watched in my life.
And you probably were impressed that they were pretty neutral about things, right? They were pretty
Well, again, yeah. I mean,
you can't. I'm not talking about the personalities, like the Hannitys, right. And
but the network has divorced themselves from.
Correct.
Again, like I was saying,
that's good for someone like you to watch that.
It's the here's what I can tell you, and for all the Fox watchers out there, that's the longest period of time I've been able to watch Fox News without throwing up a little in my mouth. So, but they had the guy, he's one of the anchors, Bruce Bear or Bear, or
Brett Bear,
like that. Brett Bear. And then, some blonde gal I don't know. They had Chris Wallace. They had
that whole team.
Donna Brazil is on their team, right?
Yeah. And that whole team was their election night, panel.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a little hard for Brett. I could tell he was having kind of a hard time with it. Everybody else seemed pretty good. Chris Wallace was kind of like, I told you guys so. And
you think it's a little bit of revenge for him, a little redemption of the way he was treated during the debate?
Well,
he's not going to say
so. I think so. No, he's got the high ground. Why would he give it up to a shithead, you know, at this point?
I don't understand, though, what the strategy is. I read a report that basically said for Trump, he's got to continue to fight and say that the election was stolen from him because that keeps his base aggravated and on his side. But on the other hand, if he just concedes and gets out, then he wins over, so to speak, some of the other side that is just going to let bygones be bygones. I don't know, but he's got, I think even as early as this morning, he's still not backing down.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not surprised by that at all.
I mean, everybody's out there. Giuliani, he's out there, you know, saying whatever he's going to say.
He's not going to concede when at least 600,000 ballots are in question. It's not my job to determine if the ballots are right or not. It's their job.
The whole thing about the ballots, and they
shifted. Here's their line. We don't have any evidence because we haven't seen the evidence yet.
Right, and they won't let us in. They won't let the counters in. That we can't. I mean, I don't. If it were true, it would be, again, not enough to change things. And certainly it would be just the story of the century, right, that this actually happened. But I don't think anybody was ever really thought that that could be real.
What do we think Trump's role going forward is? I mean, some of the things that hang on how he handles this, whether he concedes or, you know, what he does, how much he tries to damage America in this process, is he going to be a kingmaker or not? Is he going to continue to be the head of the Republican Party? Is he going to have influence, or is he going to be shunned aside and forgotten? I don't really know. I haven't spent much time thinking about it. I think if they were smart, they'd get rid of him. But, I don't know. I don't know what – I mean, and all the possibilities for 4 years from now. I guess Trump could run again.
He could run again. They're already saying that. And some of his team is saying, hey, listen, if you get out now, just concede.
You can run.
You can run. And then spend the next 4 years spreading your conspiracy theories that this was a rigged election and they stole it from you. And that'll, you know, outrage the rest of the base. Give Biden, 4 years or whatever it takes, 2 years for him to keel over and Kamala to fuck things up. And then you'll get some people defect to your side. I mean, that could be a possibility.
Yeah. I don't know if Trump's going to have much time to pursue his dream of running for president again, since he's going to be in court about 95% of the time. I don't anticipate any federal actions being taken against him, because I think that Biden has already said, hey, that's not really a good look for a former, for the current president to go after the recently ousted president. That's more of a banana republic, third world kind of move. But that says nothing to Cyrus Vance in New York, who is definitely going after Trump on state charges,
on the tax return stuff,
that among other things. Yeah, there's also election law violations in that state.
What were the election law violations?
The hookers that he had sex with.
Yeah, and then we brought that up a couple of episodes ago. I still don't understand that. How is that because he funneled the money through the campaign account? Is that why?
Well, he here's the thing. So, he, while he was running for president, he paid off the two hookers, and got caught.
Well, let's stop right there. Aside from the fact that I think hookering is illegal in most places, which it shouldn't be. That's a bullshit. But it is, and so he silenced these women. Now, they took the money, but it's because of the way the money was funneled.
They didn't do anything wrong.
Nobody did anything wrong, in my opinion.
Well, he did.
No, he didn't. If you want to fuck some whores and then give them some hush money and they take it, that's a private transaction. Government should be out of their lives. But I think what happened is he funneled that money through the campaign accounts. And in one case, the lawyer, Michael Cohen, he refinanced his house or took out a home equity line and then put that money in the account. I don't even know if Trump paid him back. But is it because of where the money was funneled through? Is that really how the campaign violation gets sucked into this?
Yeah, Trump paid him back. And let me think about this for a second. Not a lawyer.
Do you really think that should be illegal? I mean, you have said you want to see him pulled out in handcuffs. I've talked you down from, you know, being sniped or whatever.
I still think all of that.
But do you really think that it should be illegal and it's some type of campaign violation to pay off the whores?
It's definitely an election law violation.
Listen, maybe you can paint a picture and convince a judge and a jury. That's a different story. I'm asking you. Do you think it should be, though?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, you can't pay people to suppress information during a campaign that might negatively affect your campaign. That is the definition of an election law violation.
But look, why do we know about it? The suppression didn't work.
Because he's an idiot.
The suppression didn't work. It never works. Why do we know about every celebrity scandal there is? Tiger Woods. You know, he's what was that broad 10 years ago? That whatever he paid her, $10 million, and she was supposed to have, you know, could never leak the story, could never write a book. It was the first of all of the horrors.
NDA.
But how do I know all these details? It's because everybody fucking knows it. So the fact that you're paying these people with hush money, that doesn't work.
It hush gets money. Anyway. That's the term I was searching for. Yeah, hush money. Thank you so much.
But it doesn't work. Well, and so the point is, when the news, I think this is where you were going, when the news gets out that, oh, this guy is a terrible human because he fucks these whores, and therefore people might look and say, hey, we don't want to vote for him now because of his character. And the idea is that we're going to try to hide that information so that it doesn't look bad. I mean, it's out there anyway. Again, we know who he is.
Grab him by the pussy.
Right. Well, and again, that didn't, you know, you know, I never, that particular recording you have right there, that one always amazes me because I get sidetracked as soon as I hear it because my mind immediately goes to, what the hell was he thinking?
I remember.
What was he thinking? And
I think
he said that.
The whole world.
To a reporter.
Yes, and the whole world, myself included, at that time thought, this is it. This is the nail in his coffin. He doesn't survive this.
Yeah, should have been it.
But nobody cared because they already assumed that about him. So the hush money for the whores.
No. Let's go back to the what do we call that? The Billy Bush tape or the
that one was
tonight?
Yeah.
So why didn't that kill his deal? Right, because he had his Russian buddy and what's his face, the guy from WikiLeaks. Hours later after that tape came out, that's when the bullshit got released about the emails and stuff from the Russian misinformation. Same day.
So what you're saying is, okay, here's this damning audio clip of him.
Grab him by the pussy.
And he's not going to, his candidacy is over. And so therefore, to squash it, we have to release other news. And he enlisted the help of the Russians?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah,
that's
there you go.
That's conspiracy. That's very Alex Jones of you.
Well,
I don't even know if he's saying that.
I'm not really supporting it. It is a fact, though, that that's when those allegations, that's when that information came out that same day, which took the news cycle off of the Billy Bush tape.
But here's the thing about that.
The only one that got fucked on that was Billy Bush.
Anybody who makes their decision based on James Comey, Hillary's emails, the Billy Bush tapes, the Russian sleight of hand, misleading information. Anybody who bases their decision on that is a fucking moron. And that's the reality. People are
sheep.
If this campaigning up until the day before election, thinking that you're going to get people to change their mind and vote, if you haven't made up your mind a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever, you're an idiot.
I think all of that makes sense to me. I mean, I think that the fact that the Billy Bush tape didn't take him out of play speaks more about about Americans than it does about Trump.
Right. I agree with that. Again, so the whole thing about the Russian interfering on the 2016 election, which there was a group of people, a large portion of the population of this country that believed the lies that the Russians rigged the election, that the Russians literally were casting fake votes. And so I remember early on after Trump won, I would talk to people, and just to set the baseline at zero, I'd have to say to them, hey, I need to kind of gauge your intelligence here before we start this conversation. You don't really think the Russians cast fake votes, do you? And some, if they said yes, I said, I can't talk to you. You're a fucking moron.
You know, in all this time, I've never heard anybody allege that Russians affected any votes whatsoever.
That was the allegation early on, and people believed it.
Well, I mean, I'll take your word.
Bless you.
Sorry,
but the other,
I got a frog in my throat.
But you know, the part of that,
I'll take
is,
your word for it that people thought that, but I never heard that allegation from either side. All what I did hear and what was substantiated is that the Russians we used a lot of social media manipulation to try to influence,
and here's why people believed
it again this time.
But people believed it because, again, the mainstream media, their headlines and their talking points all said that the Russians interfered with the election, and that's all people hear. They just hear sound bites. They just read headlines. They don't.
Yeah, but
dig
it's
deep.
The truth. They did.
Well,
they are.
Here's the truth.
The
Russians attempted to change people's minds, right? By trying to get information out there that they believe would move someone over from one side to the other. But the Russians didn't, inject people with some kind of serum that would like make them check the box of the other candidate, right? People still made the choice on their own.
Well, a couple things about that. Why do we care, right? We care because we should always care when any kind of foreign government tries to directly affect the opinions of the American people regarding our elections, our politics. That should always be number one red flag right there.
Don't you think every government around the world does that? Don't we do
that?
I do, but
I don't think it does. I don't think it does us any good to have the at the time the presidential candidate, and then for 4 years the actual president, deny that it even happened because of his out of control narcissistic ego. Yeah,
which he wasn't. Obviously, there was no proof of that.
No proof of what?
That he was involved in that.
It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. I get that, but the real damage done by Trump was him denying that the Russians did it.
Yeah, I understand, and I think that didn't Obama
the cumulative effect is that nobody believes anything he says.
Right, but I think part of it is, remember, they tried to hang him for that and basically say that, you know, he wanted that, right, Mike? He wanted the outcome of what the Russians did because it benefited him. But to suggest he was the mastermind behind it and was working with the Russians, that was the allegation, and it wasn't true.
To suggest that Trump could mastermind anything is off base.
That's what I was telling you from the very beginning. I said, Mike, he's a big dummy. How's he going to – he's not behind this. He's just going with the flow.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, look, I think he brought it all on himself, all of it. I mean, had he just said, hey, I mean, on and on about the Steele dossier and this and that and the other. It's just, you know, just nonsense, all of it. And I don't care anymore because, hey, guess what? He's out. Now it doesn't matter anymore.
Well, he's not gone, and he hasn't gone away yet. You know, he's definitely out.
There's still a chance that I get my dream comes true.
I mean, here's some more of what they're saying.
Yeah, let's hear.
Lose or draw in this election, will you commit here today?
This is a by the way, a clip. I don't remember if it was Friday or Saturday at the White House. A press reporter was asking him the question, about the results. He sounds muffled because he's wearing a mask, and Trump makes some like hand gesture like, I can't fucking hear you. Take the mask off. But that's why you can't hear him.
For a peaceful transferal of power after the election. And there has been rioting in Louisville. There's been rioting in many cities across this country. Red and your so-called red and blue states. Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transferal of power after the election?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster. And,
I understand that, but people are rioting. Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful transferal of power?
We want to have get rid of the ballots, and you'll have a very we'll have a very peaceful. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation.
This is a couple of weeks ago.
The ballots are out of control. You know it. And you know who knows it better than anybody else? The Democrats know it better than anybody else. Go ahead.
So what's he saying? Get rid of the ballots? I don't even know.
The ballots are out of control.
I mean, he was saying that for weeks and months, that he was, you know, kind of setting the stage for that. We talked about it, the mail-in voting, if there were, you know, ballots going to people who were dead or not allowed to vote. What was the other shit that came out in the last few days? You know, people were using Sharpies and it didn't record it right. I mean, I don't
All of that, everything you just said, totally debunked.
Yeah, I think here's what I personally believe.
Sharpiegate.
Sharpiegate. That's a good one. Hang on. I got to buy that domain. I mean, was it...
When I laugh, it sounds like I'm in a bathroom. I don't know if it's coming across the recording that way.
Well, that is where you do all of your reading.
But like, that's where we have this fake background up.
So. I think they're probably, if they even figure this out, will find some evidence that there was some miscounting, that there were stolen ballots out of mailboxes. I mean, there's already physical evidence of that. Maybe they will find some evidence of people who voted twice. I heard some states where there was like two versions of ballots. There's all kinds of shit that they're going to find, but it's going to be negligible. It's not going to affect the outcome of the election, certainly. And right. It's not what I believe we will see. It's not going to be discovered that it was some widespread deliberate attempt to swing the election. Those are just matters of fact that happened with 330 million people in this country.
You know, with 50 plus different types of elections being conducted. So this is where part of our security lies, right? The fact that we've talked about this too. The fact that we don't have a national, you know, set of rules for conducting an election is one of the key things that makes actual interference with votes by foreign powers or anybody for that matter almost impossible, because there's so many different ways. If there was just one way, if everybody was just doing it one way and someone could figure out a way to throw a wrench into that one way, we'd be fucked. We'd never know if an election was legitimate, right? So the fact that it's conducted different ways, and I think that I don't think that election fraud is a voter suppression tactic employed by the Republican Party for the last 10 years. And
what do you mean by that?
Well, because when you make people think that that anything, when you make people feel like casting their vote won't count, that suppresses the vote.
Well, let me just tell you one thing. Here's what I like to tell people. If you're affected by that, then you're a moron. Because somebody else is not responsible for your feelings.
Did they fail your test?
Yes.
Your election test?
You are responsible for your own feelings. If you listen to the nonsense and you feel that you are not going to vote now because of what people are saying, that's your fault. But when you say there's voter suppression attempted by the Republicans for the last 10 years, what are they physically doing? They're not going out there and snatching people's ballots.
It's a coordinated effort by the Republican Party funneled through most of the state governments that are Republican controlled, or whatever you want to call it, it's not just one thing. And I mean, it's all kinds of different things,
but they all do it
because listen, the Republicans know when people vote, they lose.
Well, here's the thing.
That's it. There's nothing more to it.
Let's make no mistake about it. The Republicans want to win and the Democrats want to win. Both sides will do whatever it takes. And maybe this country's entering a phase where, you know, they will literally do things aggressively, maybe illegally, maybe with violence. I don't know. It's a scary time in our country. But make no mistake, both sides want to win. And this whole talk about the Electoral College versus the popular vote, we've now had two presidential elections in the last 20 years where, well, three, right? I mean, the first, the 2000 and the 2016, the person who won the popular vote didn't ultimately become the president because they didn't have the electoral votes. It appeared that it could happen again for a third time, although we now know that that didn't happen. And so what are people saying? Hey, we got to get rid of the Electoral College. We got to have just a popular vote. And I don't know. I haven't – I got to think about that. I don't know what my belief is on that. But I do believe if we simply went to a total popular vote that a Republican would never be president again. You know, because look how many – well, look at the margin of victory for Biden this time. What was it, 4 million? Which was more
Well, yeah, it's quite a bit.
Yeah, quite a bit. So what's the point then of even having parties or even having people in different states vote when you know the popular vote's always going to go for the Democrats? You know, so
– then let us just pick our people and put them in. Let's quit fucking around. I mean, these campaign ads are killing me. So
yeah,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Look, I think that the robustness or the relevance of the Republican Party falls on the Republican Party. They're irrelevant and have a hard time winning elections when you know, when you look at the popular vote, because they are fucked up. They just
but they don't have a hard time winning elections because they control the Senate, and I think they have more and they have more governors.
So they do.
So you have a belief in this country that you have to kind of guard against Democratic control so you don't have places turn into like what we have in California. So there are people out there. I've, you know, my belief, and I say this all the time, when you simply boil it down to those two choices, it really is two bad choices. We need complete shakeup and overhaul in this country. But unfortunately, people are left with the two choices that are in front of them. And when you boil it down to Senate races and gubernatorial races, those are the two picks. And I think when you look at, I mean, even you've said it, when you have a state like California where it's complete supermajority, bad shit happens.
Right, right. No, I'm all about checks and balances. I'm fine with that. And I think that this election proves that you don't have to gut the Electoral College. I mean, I'm not a big proponent of the Electoral
College. It is weird. I understand.
And I've done a little bit of, you know, I've had the time over this election cycle to try to learn a little bit about it. And it's got some good things and bad things. I mean, without the Electoral College, all of the campaigning would take place in Los Angeles and New York. And
right.
That's it.
I know.
And that's one of the reasons. I mean, that's not something that the framers could have seen or understood, because, well, were there 13 colonies, states or something right? So they had no concept that, you know, we need to worry about, you know, nobody ever again going to Montana for any reason, right, for as far as an election goes. So maybe that's a good thing. I think a far more important problem that the Democrats need to deal with and need to make people more aware of is the gerrymandering that goes along with the congressional districts and the Senate districts. That's a much more important problem than
you're talking about redrawing the lines for voting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the last time this was done 10 years ago, the Republicans managed to gerrymander the districts in such a way. I mean, if you look at the maps and the way these districts are put together, it's obviously, And they've been successful. They've had a huge, I mean, the fact that any Democrat can win anything anywhere is amazing, and only due to the fact that four more actual people are on, see things from the Democrat point of view than Republicans. There are far less Republicans.
I don't agree with that, but where is this redrawing happening on mass scale? Because again, look at California.
Well, it's going to happen following the 2020 census. I'm not past that, I don't know any of the details. So, but we didn't turn enough state houses and stuff to do it. So, you know, I don't think that the inequities that we currently enjoy with you know, gerrymandering are going to be fixed this time around. So that's going to continue to give the Republicans an edge on that part of the political process.
But that doesn't help him win the White House, right? As we've seen already.
Well, here's the other thing, you know, and we've touched on this, but what I think is a far more interesting topic is the separation of the powers from the federal level to the state level. And I've used examples of that where you would certainly be able to guard against abusive federal powers, like all this talk about Trump and the Supreme Court appointees and overturning abortion and all that, versus states who are deciding to do things their own way, like abortion laws and marijuana laws and things like that. But I find it interesting that 240 something years of our country's history, we're still battling with that. In other words, where does the authority lie? Is it from the federal level or from the state level? And I just have to wonder, are we better off having one or the other? But this kind of blended balance or imbalance of the two is what's fucking everything up.
I don't know. I think that the continual back and forth on the states versus federal is probably healthy, right? And it keeps things. I mean, here's the thing. The Senate is supposed to, the function of the Senate is to slow down the legislative process. So that's why a leader like McConnell is really bad for the whole process overall. And so, you know, I mean, we're not looking to speed up the decisions made by the government. We want to keep them slow. That was purposely designed in by the framers, right? Slow it down. The Senate was supposed to be where things could hit a wall and take some time to debate and think it over. The Senate's not working very well, right? I'm going to refrain from my usual characterization of the Senate as a bunch of fucking bastards that you know, we should hate. I think it's time to pull together a little bit. Look, I really want to see, in this time of divided government, I want to see if they can't figure out a way, right? McConnell is not Satan, as much as you might think he is. He is a turtle, but he's not Satan.
As much as you might think he is.
Yeah. And so we'll see. I mean, there's a chance here for our elected officials try to put the good of the country ahead of some of this nonsense that's been going on. Look, I'm not even a super Democrat, right? I mean, I tend to take the Democratic side. I'm a social liberal.
That's because the Democrats have redefined their party, and they're not even whatever they were anymore. They're fucking crazy leftist, communist, listen, Marxist.
I can only say that.
Some of your words.
I don't even know the right term. I'm trying to invent a new term right now. A hyper fucking idiot like Trump has forced people into their political corners. And I think now we should, if we're smart, you know, try to take a breath and try to back out of those corners a little bit. It's not, listen, the Biden-Harris administration is not going to be able to go and get their most left-leaning policies, you know, enacted. And I never thought they would be, right? So,
well, there certainly
for
was
you,
a possibility.
That seemed to be, yeah, that seemed to be a big worry that, oh my God, they're,
well, how could it not be if they won the White House, which they did,
because things
and they
don't happen
retain
that way.
Control of the House and flip the Senate, of course they
listen
would.
even with the Senate majority being for the Republicans so much of this time, they nearly didn't get that much done. I mean, legislative efforts by Republicans have been almost, because
yeah,
Trump
but
sucked at
let
it
me
he,
let me here's
he
the bottom
figure
line.
Out yeah
the, these they are for big government. They think government is the answer. They think government can solve all of the problems. You read their aggressive platform, and maybe that's, you know, maybe that's how, like, the skill of master negotiating, right? You ask for more than you really hope to get. And so even if they only accomplish, you know, three quarters or a half of the shit that they're trying to do, that would still be devastating. So, I mean, some of the stuff, I don't want to get into the details, but some of
it's
the plans.
It's not even going to be like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but some of the stuff you look like, 401k overhaul. I mean, there's specific plans to adjust the 401k plans in this country that aren't necessary and don't make sense. And it's shit like that.
On the other side, Travis,
fucking angry.
The far right wing, exemplified by Trump, would be eliminate elections and just install Trump as the king. I mean, none of those extremes is going to happen.
Well, listen, the point is, when you control all the power, then you will get some of that stuff done, which is exactly why in the last 4 years, Trump has been able to railroad some of his ideas forward because they've had ultimate control to do it. So well, that's what happens when parties are in power. And
most
and,
of his shit's going to be undone pretty fast because almost everything he did, except for the tax cut, is going to be was executive order. So
yeah, so that's exactly my point. When the other side comes in and they have control, they're going to get whatever they want done. And every side, I don't know how many executive orders Trump signed and where that, yeah, where that number stacks up against prior presidents, but you clearly see that that is the name of the game, that more and more presidents, governors, they're leaning on the executive action because they can get away with it. Look at this whole fucking scamdemic. Every single governor in this state has relied on executive orders to do whatever the hell they want to do. That's well,
you
why
should be, you should be happy that Trump's out of the office because that push by this White House to increase executive power is not good for the country. It's not good for the country.
And I'm not saying that that's
McConnell,
what I want.
If McConnell can help that by actually working to govern and not force Biden into trying to do everything by executive order. I mean,
well, I'll go back to what you said. I do think, and I can get behind the idea that we need to take this time to take a breath. Let's simmer down. Let's try to reset, come back to the table with a good faith effort to discuss things and try to find a path forward. I think that you would want to do that with any change of power, but certainly when you look at the last 4 years and the craziness that this country has gone through, that is the right step. However, let's not forget that this country is completely divided. So when you look at Trump, what did he ultimately get? 70 million votes. That's not nothing. And I can't stand when you all these fucking celebrities with their virtue signaling and tweeting out all over the weekend.
Wait a minute, I'm not a celebrity.
No, but everybody, people who voted for Trump, I can't believe 70 million Americans are fucking idiots and voted for Trump.
Well, take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, but they're ignoring the fact that it's true, that it's a fact of this. It is a fact of life. And you look at, it's not just Trump. It's everything we always talk about is every fucking issue in this country, people are divided. And that is the real problem, and we need to acknowledge that.
Well, here's the thing. The autopsy on this election by the Democrats need, and I've already heard it, so I think it's already starting, needs to include the fact that just what you just said, right? 70 million ballpark Americans voted for Donald Trump. It's close to the same amount of people that voted for Biden. It's close, within about 4 or 5 million people.
Right.
So I think what that means to the Democrats is, this was not a successful election for Democrats.
No, exactly.
Right. So I agree 100% with that. So mark it down on your sheet.
Mark it down 100%.
43, 45 minutes or something.
But, I will say
this. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. And the 70 million.
Yeah, how do you talk to those people, right?
I do think it's fair to assume, and I don't know what the number is of those 70 million, that not all 70 million were for Trump, and they are Trumpers, and they wanted Trump. I do have to believe that a large portion of that 70 million is what happened in 2016. They were just anti-Biden, and again, people feeling like they had to pick one or the other.
I don't think there's anywhere near the anti-Biden thing that there was anti-Hillary. So sorry to all of our feminist listeners out there, but Hillary Clinton brought too much baggage to the table, and I think that was a significant part of the reason why Trump got in. So
I agree.
Thanks a lot, Hillary.
Yeah,
you should have stayed the fuck out of it to begin with. But this time it's not that. It's people voted their wallets.
Yeah, but what it was. Biden is a very, he was a gamble. To pick Biden and to vote for Biden is a gamble. Listen, Obama waited until the last fucking second to endorse him because he didn't want to have to do that.
He knew. 75 million people that voted for Biden voted against Trump. I don't think anybody
voted for. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think anybody is, drooling over the prospect of.
The only
anybody
drooling Biden. Is Biden himself.
Oh, man. Hey,
did you see him shuffle on stage? Listen.
I'm going to need money if I'm going to set you up like that on a continuous basis.
Did you see him shuffle on stage? I'm not sure what night it was, but he shuffled and he had his hands were stiff. He looked like a corpse.
I didn't see it.
I mean, granted, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning and it's past his bedtime, but God damn.
Yeah. So, I'm starting to go out of the picture here. You said lean back.
But it, you know, it ain't over yet. What's, what is this here?
Trying to rig an election and we can't let that happen.
So Trump is still on the offensive that they're rigging the election.
If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us.
He's got to come down off of that. I think he just needs to look himself in the mirror. I did read over the weekend that they're saying Melania and what's the son-in-law, Jared Kushner, are privately telling Trump, hey, you lost. It's time to pack it up and head out.
Did you hear Jared Kushner talking about how Trump wants everybody to do better, but I can't even say this without laughing because I'm thinking about
do better for what?
So Jared Kushner has said something over the weekend that President Trump wanted everybody to do better, right? That the assumption that he doesn't want, you know, people that aren't part of his base to do better or whatever. And really he was talking about black people, that he wants black people to do better, but Donald Trump can't want them to do better than he can't want them to do better more than they want to do better. It was such an elitist, stupid nonsense from a silver spoon born piece of shit.
is he saying this? I've heard that argument before. I think, Ivanka,
we can't want it more than they want it for themselves.
But what's he saying? That he's saying this after the
when that kind of diarrhea comes out of the mouth of a rich silver spoon spoiled fucking brat like Jared Kushner, you know, it's just hard to.
But is he saying that after the now after they called the election and he's saying that was the deciding factor because blacks didn't vote for Trump? Is that why he's saying that?
He's like, I don't know why, you know, I think what he's saying is, I don't know why he didn't vote for my father-in-law because, you know, but he evidently wants you to do better more than you want to do better, which is just stupid ass wrongheaded nonsense.
Well, didn't they say that the Hispanic vote swung towards Trump? I heard that the Democrats were
Cubans in Florida.
And yeah, I heard some of that too.
Hispanic, Latino votes or whatever, they're not, it's not a monolith.
Right? Well, I think when you just look at the demographics, it's easy to put people in boxes like Biden did early on several months ago, whatever he said. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black or something like that.
I did hear it, but
he automatically, that was a great clip, but he was automatically, you know, counting those votes. And I think to a similar extent, the Latino vote, and I think I read, you know, the Democrats were completely disappointed by that.
Here's what I'm hearing about Biden courting the black vote. You're going to have to deliver, right? Here's the thing. You need to, somebody put it on TV this morning. I actually heard it. You need to, if you're going to take somebody to the dance, you need to dance with them at the dance, right? So, you know, you can't just use.
We know Trump is a good dancer.
Yeah, we saw that. So, I mean, I think, you know, Biden's going to have to balance out. I mean, he's going to have to deliver on some of the agenda for black voters. I mean, which I have no problem with, because that agenda, as far as I can see, just includes civil rights and equality and not being shot to death by police on a regular basis without anybody giving a fuck.
Well, it's going to be hard to quantify that because I mean, there's some efforts already happening, you know, in states where they're everything from defund the police to making changes within police curriculum. I think a couple of places already, I don't have them off the top of my head, but where they've already outlawed the no-knock warrants and banned the chokeholds and things like that. So
right.
It's just
a matter of white America saying, hey, we agree there is systemic racism in the criminal justice system and we need to address it. That's it. You know, really hot button phrases like defund the police. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Nobody has suggested stopping to finance police departments.
Well, that's not true. That is not true.
I'm not going to look. I get it, but that's not really what anybody's suggesting with that.
People are suggesting that term came
from defunding certain priority projects and taking the money away from things and putting it into better training and things.
Yeah, but right?
Don't go there, dude.
That's not
a good look for you.
Well, listen, when you say stuff like that, it's got to be true, and that's not true. There are groups of people who actually want no policing, and there was. It's not the majority, certainly. But where was it? Was it in Wisconsin?
I don't give a shit what one person somewhere.
It's not one person. It was something. A city council. I forget where it was. I want to say it was somewhere in Wisconsin. They completely.
So disappointing.
It's true. I sent you the article. It was one of those 3-hour reads.
Just disappointing. That is not a relevant thing. Defunding the police is just a hot button.
It's not. Let me just say this. I agree if this is what you were saying. I don't think Biden is going to do that. I don't think that's any part of a national strategy to defund police departments or suggest to people that you're not going to have policing. But make no mistake, early on, whenever that movement started, April or May, I want to say, there were people who were clearly defining that phrase of defund the police as meaning no police. And they put the Democrats on the stand on that, including Biden, to say, please clarify what you mean. And he came out and he clarified it. So listen, I understand it's not a huge movement. It's not a thing, but you know, there needs to be changes to the police force. I'll give you that. So I think some of that is starting now, you know, it's starting in states like California. You know, we'll see what happens on a federal level. What do you do from the federal level? How do you fix that? I haven't read their platform. I don't know.
I think I'm just going to go back to my my statement that I think it's time for white America to just admit that there's systemic racism in the criminal justice system and face it and deal with it. And that's it. The rest of it's bullshit, all of it.
I do. You said you think Biden needs to deliver. Do you think he won't?
I think he's going to. He's going to have to navigate that as he goes, right? I mean, here's the thing: for the good of the Democratic Party or the progressive side of politics, you can't depend on certain portions of the electorate to bring you into office and then abandon them once you get there. If he does that, he'll pay for it, and rightly so.
Well, I think I don't know where they list their agenda items and how they stack them up on the priority list. But I would think with Kamala, that's a big deal for her. And I don't know if he kind of divides up the thing, you know, okay, you run with this and whatever, but I think
frankly, part of delivering on that is Kamala.
Yeah.
Right.
You mean getting her in the office?
Yeah. Yeah. You bring the first black woman into the vice presidency. I mean, that needs to be. And for those that are saying that, hey, you have to deliver on the agenda for the black part of the electorate. Well, okay. And while you're tallying up that score, realize that he brought Kamala Harris into this picture as part of that delivery. So
when did he actually pick her? Do you remember?
No, that's part of the blur you mentioned earlier of all this stuff. But, you know, I think that it's a significant, I mean, did he do that just to pander to the black vote? I don't think so. I don't believe so. I think that he wanted to bring a woman and a person of color into the vice presidency because he could.
Yeah, he definitely wanted to bring a woman. I think he made that announcement very early on, which I, for one, was afraid it was going to be Elizabeth Warren. So I'm glad it didn't go that way.
That wouldn't have been delivering on for the black voter.
No, I mean, I think he made that announcement even before, you know, I keep saying April or May, but certainly when...
We just need to leave her in the Senate, right? Right now is not the time to pull any senators.
Well, here's a hypothetical.
Any popular senators out of the Senate and put them in cabinet positions. That's not going to be a good idea.
Who will be Kamala's vice president pick?
Here's a better question. Not to grade your assertion, but how do we replace Kamala? in the Senate. Is that an appointment?
I think so. I think Newsom gets to pick. Newsom? Yeah, I think he does.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, there's no special election or anything for that. So
I don't, right? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he gets to pick. And I don't know if
his ex-girlfriend, Don Jr.'s.
Yeah, she's looking for work.
His ex-wife, right? Don Jr.'s girlfriend, Guilfoy or whatever.
She's going to stay in the home there in the White House.
Screaming into a microphone in a locked room.
So, like, you know, I do think you're right. I think Newsom gets to pick. I'm not sure if that person just takes the rest of her term. I would guess whatever she has left.
I gotta think that term comes back up in 2024. Yeah.
So what about when Biden kicks the bucket within four? Right, there's no way he's going to last 4 years. Okay. So and I do think maybe
you guys have the same hope about Trump, so we don't have to deal with well, this. Well, maybe in 2024.
You know we should. Where do we stand on the gambling? I forget. I'm pretty sure we had
I already a wager. Paid you my $5.
Yeah, right.
My $10. That was you guys already sucked $10. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Travis.
But that was on the survivability of Trump and the COVID. But now right. I do think we have an outstanding wager on who won the election, which I'm sure I owe you money now.
I don't think we bet on that. I think I don't remember betting on that, so I'm going to give you a pass on that.
Well, I'm going to have to go back and look because I'm pretty sure if we had bet, I would have said that Trump was going to win. So I'll go back to the tapes and see if I owe you money, but I do think it's appropriate. Let me know if you think. Let's continue the trend. We got to start a new wager. Does Biden survive his first term in office?
Does Biden survive his first term in office? Let's see. He definitely does.
All right. I'm glad you said that because I say he definitely does not.
So you guys can't see this, but I now have my Biden.
You have your Biden aviators on.
My Biden aviators on. We'll try to figure out a place where we can post a picture of this look for you guys so you can see what I'm talking about.
So, okay. There's a couple ways we can do this. We can open, you know, just have the death pool be like, okay, 4 years. Does he not make it? We can do an over-under.
Oh, man. I don't like to bet on death. That's not
It's
not
inevitable. Good look. We all die.
Well, then I'll take that bet.
But you,
we all die.
Yes, but you.
How much?
We all die, and we all pay taxes, and we pay more taxes because of the fucking Democrats.
Uh oh. What's going to happen there? What's he going to do, Travis? Speaking of something serious
for taxes?
Yeah.
Well, you know what he's going to do. He's got his platform about how he wants to raise taxes.
That's right. Do you think? But he did promise that nobody making under $400,000 a year would see a tax increase.
Yeah, I've read several. Reports and the people who analyze it. And I think most of that is true if you believe the specifics in it. So, but here's what I think. There's some caveats to that, but not enough to make that a misleading statement. There's taxes on businesses, which I think are not right. There's overhaul to the 401k, all that stuff. And I always go back and say, this stuff is punitive because you can't raise enough money by taxing the wealthy people to solve all of the government's problems and to cover the debt. There's just not enough there. So that's not a solution.
Can he get a tax increase through with a Republican Senate?
I hope not. And that's what they say is the best scenario is that we have a Biden victory, but the Republicans control the Senate and we'll be able to stave off some of that.
I wouldn't worry much about tax increases at this point. I mean, I don't think it's a winner with any part of the electorate, to be honest with you.
Not now, right? And the timing of it during, this craziness with the man-made depression that was caused by government overreaction to the scamdemic.
The scamdemic.
Let's call it what it is.
Well, you know, the beat goes on with that. I mean, I think that at 120 some odd thousand new cases a day, we're in trouble. So,
well,
I don't have any predictions. I'm not following it that close, but it seems bad. What do you think?
I think that that's all a scare tactic. Cases are cases. Cases aren't deaths. We already talked about this.
I thought we were supposed to stop talking about it as soon as the election was called. Weren't we supposed to stop?
Well, I mean,
chatting about COVID.
Here's the thing. What I always worried about is a Biden victory would put us back into lockdown, and he's already saying that. That seems to be in his mind the single biggest issue that people want to talk about, and that put him over the edge to victory. He's already announcing a coronavirus task force. He's already saying we're going to listen to the scientists and institute universal mask wearing, and listen to the scientists on what they say about potential new lockdowns. That to me is the biggest concern, and we've beat this to death. But I will just say, look at we can't get a second round of stimulus money passed now. And what if the case numbers continue to climb? That and it really gets bad where people are dying, and it looks like it did in March and April, or maybe even worse than that. And you don't have a financial stimulus passed. We're already in this recession, right? We're already in this depression. And the analogy I used, it was from the start, it was like trying to kill a fly with a hammer. We went nuclear the first time, and we haven't really done anything to solve it the second time around. So I would say this, if it becomes scientifically necessary to engage in some type of lockdown, I think the only way we should do that is if there's some type of financial stimulus passed first, to say to people, you're going to have to go in your basements for the next 4 to 6 weeks, and we have to be patriotic, as I think a phrase you used. And the way to do that is, here's your survival kit. It's in the mail.
Yeah, what makes you think do you think we're not going to get a stimulus passed pretty soon now that the election is over?
I don't think we're going to. No, I don't. I don't think we'll get one passed.
Because McConnell won't do it, or because Trump won't sign it, or?
No, I don't know. I mean, I think it's I haven't been following too much about where they left off, the last one that didn't get passed. I do remember, I think one of the big things was something to do with a special carve out for the airlines or whatever.
Well, nobody wanted to give, neither side wanted to give the other side a win, So the win for the Democrats would have been a gigantic stimulus package that the Democrats approved, and a win for the Republicans would have been, a quarter of that much money as a stimulus package. Either way, people need the money, regardless of which total it is. And now the election's over, so wouldn't it behoove everybody to get something passed?
Yeah, and I blame that on the Democrats, because if you really want to get money in the hands of the people, people need money, businesses need money. Those are the two priorities. As soon as you put anything else in there, like the Democrats are trying to do, then it's like, this is not a fair negotiation. If it's really
what is the additional stuff that Democrats are trying to put into the bill?
There was a bunch of shit in there. I don't remember.
No. Well, not having any specifics, I don't know.
Yeah,
about
I don't want to. It's very Trump of me to not cite the resources.
I mean, I know that the money was probably four times as much as the Republicans wanted to approve. So, but I just think, really, what's the logical solution? Come somewhere in the middle of those two amounts and pass something.
Yeah, I mean, that's soon. Certainly the spirit of a compromise. But even still, I will say that the discussions about this current stimulus that needs to be passed, that's to make up for shit that's already happened. In other words, that's money that's owed to people to keep their head above water now. And this is November. We get into January with case counts rising and Biden coming in saying we're going to shut things down. You're going to need more money than that. So there's a third or fourth round of stimulus money that needs to be passed. And I'm disappointed, I guess, in the lack of the amount of the uprising, the citizen uprising. And I just think that nobody should ever tolerate being told to stay in their homes. And that's why I say about this scamdemic, again, we've beat it to death, but 99% of people survive. We went nuclear on the first option, and now we know that lockdowns don't work. We know that that is just delaying the inevitable. The only argument that you could ever make for a lockdown is to, preserve your resources. But if you're going to do that, you got to backstop it with support. And if there's no talk of that, which I've not heard Biden talk about that, I don't think you can entertain that option. So I don't know, but hey, listen, we got the vaccine news, so who knows what that'll mean.
Which is like no news, right? I mean,
how is it no news?
Well, because the only piece of news we got is that Pfizer has a vaccine that they think is going to be 90% effective. So the only piece of news there is that they think it's going to be 90% effective and not 60% effective. So there are going to be other vaccines,
yes,
that will come out,
like Moderna,
60% effective. So I don't even think it's a piece of news. I mean, I don't even know what the significance of it is.
Well, here's
it's nothing. The trials, the testing goes on. It's not going to be released anytime soon. That's
Here's the other part of the news. 90% effective, They think they're going to have FDA approval by the end of this month, and they've already stockpiled millions of doses. So that's in the report. So what they're saying is we're so confident that it is successful and that it will get FDA approval that when that happens, we've got millions of doses ready to go. I don't know what that is. It's certainly not 330 million, but it is something.
It's under 50.
Yeah, it's probably, I was going to say maybe yeah. under 10. I really don't know. But that is the news, and here's why it's important. And that's one company. That's Pfizer. The Moderna vaccine is coming, and there's others. So here's why it's important, and that is if we can get the vaccine out into circulation, it becomes part of the plan. Because the only other plan we have is to put people in their basements, and that's devastating. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So that's why I think it's important. If you can begin to say, you know, here's who's going to get it first, you know, the most vulnerable, the frontline workers, things like that. I don't know how much of the vaccine that would occupy and how quickly they can reproduce it. But I do think that certainly changes the narrative. Absolutely.
Well, that's good. I mean, any good news on the COVID front is good news for the country.
And the stock market is reacting to that. And there's a lot of kind of just...
I know. My retirement is
right
even closer.
And, you know, there's just that consumer confidence.
Where's the huge stock market plunge that everybody was afraid of with Trump lost? Not happening, huh?
Well, I think, yes, it's not happening. And the reason why is because for the last several weeks, maybe longer, the market's already priced in a Biden victory.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The markets like stability. I mean, I'm no market expert, but I hear enough of it to understand that the thing they don't like is volatility. They right. want things to be, you know, steady. And it doesn't really have that much to do with the president, right? It never did. Trump wasn't responsible for the good market. He's not responsible for the good economy. He never was.
Yeah, I wrote a report on, I don't know how far back in history it went, but it kind of compared Republican presidents versus Democrats and what the market did during those years. Yeah. And I think for the most part, I mean, the market overall is up anyway. It did have a slight edge on Republican presidents as far as its gains during those years versus Democrats, but not always huge gains. But, you know.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. If you're the president and you're going to take credit for the economy or for the stock market, then you have to take blame when it goes down, and it doesn't seem to ever work
well
that way, right?
I would, yes, and I would agree with that, except for no president, including Trump, should have been blamed for the crash that was caused by the pandemic and the overreaction to it.
I don't think my personal view on the outcome of this election is that, not that it has much to do with the COVID. I don't think people, I think it's the overall, it's just Trump overall. I mean, this was referendum on Trump, not Republicans, not Republican governance. This was a referendum on Trump.
I think so.
And his terrible Trumpness.
His Trumpism.
How else to put it? I'm not full of cuss words today. I don't know why. I think maybe I'm just a little bit relieved that the whole fucking mess is over for another 4 years.
I mean, this guy, he's...
Ultimately, I have a feeling judges are going to have to rule.
I mean, he was saying that from the beginning, so he's not going quietly.
What judge? Which even out of the...
Don't you get it? The Supreme Court that he stacked just to prepare for this moment. Come on, Mike.
Well, here's the thing, right? They apparently have zero evidence of any kind.
Well, yeah, there's that.
You're right. So you think that even the stupid bitch and the two sycophants.
There you go. Now you're getting into it.
He appointed, you know, you think they're anxious for a case to come up where they can prove that their allegiance to Trump is going to, you know. And here's the thing. I don't think so. I mean, I'm not as downfallen about the appointment of these three judges to the Supreme Court. I'm not. I was appalled at the way this Amy Coney Barrett was handled. And so that's it. You know, it just come, it went. I can't really, I'm not going to, I mean, I think everything I said about that, I still believe. I don't think it was the right thing to do, but it just proved everything I said about the people involved. So that's fine. Supreme Courts, I mean, you know, we're going to have to see what's going to happen with, you know, there's the ACA thing coming up. What's going to happen with abortion and this and that? I don't know. I kind of agree with you, believe it or not. Again,
thank you.
Mark the time, 1:10. That the last check and balance on the Supreme Court doing something really against what the majority of people want is the people, right? And they're, you know, if these three collates and they start legislating from the bench.
Who's the three? Is it the three that Trump appointed? Are they like the squad of the Supreme Court?
They are. Well, the five. I mean, actually, right? So yeah,
but he only appointed three.
Yeah, and yeah, but you've already got Alito, right?
How would this even happen?
Even know, is the one guy there, the one black justice? What's his name?
Clarence Thomas.
Is Clarence Thomas still there?
I believe he is.
Oh, okay. That seems like something from another lifetime. His appointment.
Well, that was the early 90s.
If they go crazy doing stuff, then people will. You know, there's an election every. There are midterms every. You know, there's a general election and midterms every 2 years. Things are going to happen, right? And so, I mean, maybe I should be. Maybe if I really want to see the progressive agenda furthered in this country, I should hope that the now stacked for the right wing Supreme Court should, you know, go crazy and make all my worst fears about that come true, so that people will rise up and they will elect, you know, different representatives and flip the House and get all the power and then make the laws, right? So, I mean, the only thing the Supreme Court should be doing is deciding if things are constitutional or not.
Yeah, agreed. So how could they even do that between now and January 20th? I mean, do you really think Trump's going to try to get them engaged in this?
In the, I don't think they're going to take up any of his.
Can they?
The Supreme Court is going to take up any of these cases. None. I don't think they're going to take any of them up.
And because I don't either.
I don't think they want to, and I don't think they meet the criteria. Right?
I agree. Yeah, I don't see anything there.
Yeah, I'm not
even Brett Baer sees anything there.
Yeah, really, poor guy. Yeah, I think that you know, and when we talked in previous episodes about, you know, how this new justice should recuse herself or something from some kind of case like that, I didn't know if they had evidence or not. I didn't know what they would do. I mean, to me, it seems like his entire strategy fell apart because I think now in retrospect, looking at it, it was all a figment of his fucking imagination. Right?
Trump's
strategy that either way he was going to take the result of the election to court, to the Supreme Court. This is nothing like 2000.
Well, don't you think that the fact that he's been spewing that,
he's not ahead anywhere.
Right, I know, but that's why I wonder if he thought all along he was going to lose.
Well, I mean, did he think he was going to lose? I don't know. My tendency on that front is to think that he's such a psychotic narcissist that he didn't think he could lose, right? And that one way or the other, he was going to call in all of. I mean, he's a fucking gangster. He's a wannabe gangster.
That's a new one for you.
He's a mobster, right? He's a wannabe mobster. I mean, here's the truth. He's not tough enough to be a mobster, right? A real mobster would eat him up and spit him out. But I think that in his mind, he thought he was going to use those kind of tactics. If he lost the election, if the Democrats stole the election from him, then he by actually counting the votes, it's so ridiculous that he was gonna you know, his ultimate defense was to go to the Supreme Court.
I think somehow, he's basing all of that on the fact that there was these, you know, Trump signs all over everyone's lawns. There were boat parades. Sometimes, you know, when they count the number of boats at the bottom of the lakes when they sank. So there was more Trump boats than Biden boats.
So many pictures on my Instagram of Trump signs in the trash.
Well, you know, the T-shirts are on sale. I did see at my local Trump corner that you could buy one, get one free.
Oh, they still really? Yeah, I'm waiting. You know, there's been one. There's one bit. You know, this is a little enclave of Republicanism in Orange County here.
Right.
I mean, this is true John Birch Society territory here. I mean, before this was a bunch of houses, this was a bunch of orange trees, and you know, back then everything here. This was the rightest of the right area. So, down in the one shopping center in my city, there's been a Trump, you know, stand there quite a bit. You know, there was also a Black Lives Matter stand there. So Trump stand was there for about 20 days all told, and the Black Lives Matter stand was there for one day. So I don't know what that says about my community. What's weird?
I saw the same thing too. I never saw.
I think it's the same guy, right? I think it was the same people.
Well,
I
saw one that was in a shopping center near me that was up for a month, you know, every day.
A Trump one?
Well, it was Trump on one corner and then Black Lives Matter on the other. Oh, I never saw a Biden one though.
Well, Mission Viejo. Oh, there was a what now on what? There was a Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. You know what? There was no Biden one in
yeah,
in
I never saw a Biden
one. It was BLM. That's what it was. I didn't even see it.
But you know that I really think that's what Trump is saying, is that the whole reason he thinks that he lost is because he looked at all, you know, the people that at his rallies, and he always said nobody went to Sleepy Joe's rallies, and he just thought that was it. He had the numbers. But thinking that doesn't change the vote count. So I hate to tell you.
Well,
buddy.
I was counting on that. I mean, look, again, I was joking earlier, but the long, dark national nightmare is coming to a close.
Do you want to hear any of Sleepy Joe's
Yeah, let's comments? Hear it. Let's hear it.
My fellow Americans.
This is long, so we can listen to how much he wants to, you know.
You just judge, because we're at about that.
Folks, the people of this nation have spoken. They've delivered us a clear victory.
I agree with that.
Yep.
A convincing victory. A victory for we, the people. We've won with the most votes ever cast on a presidential ticket in the history of the nation. 74 million.
That's the car rally.
Yeah, I think it was sponsored by Jeep. They were all in Jeeps. You see that?
Well, I must admit, it surprised me.
I did not watch it. I did not watch any of the
Biden. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, but there's been other opportunities, right? I just haven't watched it. I'm not a big fan of listening to him talk. So here's the good news. I think hopefully we don't need to hear from the president every motherfucking day.
Let's hope so.
Right? We do not need to hear. We never needed to hear from Trump every day, and we don't need to hear from Biden every day. And well, hopefully that's over. I want to go days in between thinking about this shit. Right?
Yeah, that's an added bonus. I think we mentioned that. And it would be nice to not have to worry about, you know, crazy conspiracy theories or whatever the hell he's spreading.
Well, he's still going to spread them. He's a spreader. He's a super spreader.
Well, let's go ahead before we wrap up for today.
Okay.
Let's finish the death pool thing. I think we owe it to our listeners to figure that out. So, you know,
so what's the bet?
Well, okay. That's so what I want to know. Let's just start simple. We can tweak it if we want to do an over under at some point later, but
you're the gambling expert here.
I'm not an expert. I think I'm behind.
One time Travis employed me to place a bet for him in Las Vegas. That's how much he loves this. So go ahead.
Well, I think I'm behind as far as the wagers we're keeping track of on the show, but you think he'll survive 4 years. I say no way. So you want to make it a 20?
All right, I'll make it a 20.
All right, I'll make it a 20. And we reserve the right to adjust it if we want to do an over-under. You know, I don't know what to think about that. Like if the news comes out that he's, you know, sick or, you know, something happens, we got
to. So what is this? He has to live to January 20th, 2005?
No, 2005.
Yeah, I'm 2025? I don't even think I'm going to live till 2025.
So then is that by default, then you would lose?
Well, if he dies before, I guess I would lose, right?
And you got to put the money aside so I can collect it.
I got 20 bucks, yeah.
So I think you know, we'll see. And then what happens is, so does Kamala get to pick? Did we establish that? Who's going to be the vice
president?
If he dies,
Well, if he dies, then Kamala gets to pick Maxine Waters as the vice president.
And that's what it is, right? She automatically gets sworn in. And
you know,
then
I don't know. Does she pick the vice president? I guess let's think what happened here. Didn't Jerry Ford pick when he took over for Nixon? Didn't Jerry Ford pick whoever the hell it was? I don't even know who it was.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Wasn't it that I can't remember, dude. I mean,
figure it out.
There's been some pretty, you know, pretty ridiculous vice presidents over time.
So. You know, when you think about that, certainly maybe the last 50 or 60 years in this country, there's been some crazy shit that's happened. Does it put that in perspective that what we've dealt with for the last 4 years isn't that out of the ordinary?
I think it proves that the Republic is stronger than we thought it was, or that we're worried that it might be. I mean, you know, I, for me, the demonstrating and stuff around BLM has been, its time has come. And I think that it's time that those people won, you know, did some winning. I mean, remember how we were supposed to be so tired of winning? You're going to be so tired of winning.
Was that Trump's thing?
Yeah, you're going to be so tired. You're going to get tired of winning. That's how it's going to be. So I was still waiting for the winning to start. So I think that, for me, all of this is a success, right? We came out of this with checks and balances in place. We got rid of Trump and his, poison, and, you know, does it fix everything? Does any election fix everything? Never does. So I think that, there are things to discuss. I had a lot of people tell me, Travis, so is this it for the podcast? Is it over? I'm like, what'd you think? This was just a thing for the election? Yeah, we'll see you in 4 years.
Yeah, well, that's what you said at the end of the last episode. You're like, okay, well, we're going away. I'm like, well, we're not going away.
Yeah, I had a couple of people that were like, well, what are you going to talk about? Oh, there's so much shit to talk about. I mean, look, you can still get me fired up over defunding the police, right? You know, so there's plenty of shit to talk about, folks. Don't worry.
Well, and, you know, just to kind of close out on this topic about, where we are and the strength of the Republic and all of that, I think the next 4 years are critical. I think it could go either way. I think the best thing would be if Biden actually survives and I pay you the $20 and
I like that scenario.
And finish his term and let kind of the mood reset and then figure out a middle path forward. And then after that, we'll see. So if he dies and Kamala comes in and, you know, the progressives take over, or at the end of 4 years, you reestablish where the country is. But, you know, make no mistake, Biden is inheriting an extremely divided country. And
is that not the case? Which Democratic president doesn't inherit a shit show from the previous Republican?
That's not what I said. I said divided.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, look at the shit show that Obama and Biden inherited in 2008. I mean, what's his name?
Bush.
Yeah, I forgot his name. Bush had fucked things up so bad. The economy was completely trashed, and they inherited that shit show from him. And now they're inheriting the same.
But here's
thing.
The difference. Here's the difference. That's not what I said. But here's the difference.
You're worried that people are going to miss it. They know I'm twisting your words.
No. Purpose. But the truth is that O'Biden, as you say, Obama.
That might be the new term.
Yeah. Obama won convincingly. And so, there were some things that were fucked up.
That was a mandate.
The wars. But the nation wasn't as divided as it is now. You know, that's the big difference. People got behind Obama because of all the things that Bush wasn't and all the things that Obama promised he could be and hope and change and all of that. And as you say, it was a mandate. So there was, I think that was, that probably was the most the country was united since 9/11.
And here's the unfortunate part about that, right? The first thing that McConnell tried to do when the country was at that most united point, instead of building on that and working for it, he made the incredibly irresponsible statement that his sole goal as Speaker of the House was going to be to make Obama a one-term president.
You almost did it again.
Yeah, Biden a one-term president. I just think that the obstructionism that we face now, it started with McConnell in 2010. And for he bears a great deal of the responsibility for that.
But everybody wanted Trump to be a one-term president too. The other side always wants their team to knock the other guy out in one term. Come on.
Gee, I'm trying to remember when Pelosi came out and said that her sole goal was going to be to make Trump a one-term president. I don't remember.
Well, she said it in not so many words. By the way, is she going to lose her job?
Oh, I think the better bet might be on if she's going to live through the next 4 years.
Well, let's do that one because we can do that. Aren't we going to know soon on the speakership?
Yeah, we're going to know soon. Yeah, I mean, we're going to see if she's going to – I don't think she's going anywhere. She has an iron grip on the speakership. So
you want to go five on it?
That's going to flip? That yeah. She's going to lose it?
I'll say she loses it for five.
When? Someday in the future?
No, in the next couple of months.
I don't even know. When are they? They're not going to even talk about it, are they, till the next session, till the next Congress?
Are they? So not She's until January?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that the same term?
Let's revisit this bet, and I'll do a little research.
We'll do some research. We'll figure that out for the next show. And I'm thinking I'll go a fiver on it, though.
Okay. Well, let's figure that out.
All right, man.
There it is. All right.
Well,
I'm off to actually
Neverland.
Yeah. So.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
All right. See you later, man.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.